And a lot of people could give you dreams that are not safe. I'm not saying you should trust in them or trust in any doctrine that you get in them, because sometimes they're quite perverted. Sometimes they're dead on. It's like Nebuchadnezzar and Pharaoh's dream. Sometimes they're right on. I mean, I didn't hear too many. I didn't hear any prophecies. As a matter of fact, it told us exactly when America was going to go into Iraq. But that one. That boy wasn't saved. No, finally, I'd like to say one more thing, that that we need to pray for prophecy. We need to pray for dreams. We need to pray for visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom, because these things are going to guide us through the tribulations to come. And in many cases, they'll keep back our feet from the pit and from dying by the sword, like Job said. We need these things. We need these gifts. We need to pray for them. And we need to be merciful towards people that their dreams don't come to pass exactly the way we think, or not on the timing that we think. God's merciful. This is the new covenant. There's no false doctrine there. I can tell you judgment is coming. I'm sure of that. I'm not sure of the date, but I am sure that it's coming. And I do believe it will be before the end of the year. 1 Corinthians 13 and 9 says, "We know in part, and we prophesy in part." That means, like I said, part God, part us. But when that which is perfect or mature or full grown is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And when I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child, but now I've become a man, I've put away childish things. When we grow up with our gift, I tell you, a prophet that knows the Scripture has a real leg up. Because you understand, false doctrine wars in our mind when we prophesy. Our understanding gets in there. Let me prove this to you, okay? Have you ever seen people that prophesied in King James English? Do you understand why they do that? Isn't that God speaks only in King James English?
Because they've read so much of the King James
No, you know what? When God speaks to you, have you ever had God speak to you? I mean, just, you know, speak to you in about some certain situation or something. Just spoke to you. Did he speak in King James English?
No.
Well, when he prophesies to you, does he need to speak in King James English? No. No, that's a copying is what that is. See, that's copying other people. That's an emulation, the Bible calls it. That's copying other people. They are restricting God to their method because they think God talks this way. Well, he might have talked that way to 16th century Englishmen, but he don't speak that way to you, does he? Do you understand what I'm saying? He don't try to restrict God to your method, okay? But. Am I saying that God can't speak a true prophecy using King James English because this person is constraining him to do it according to their emulation? No, I'm not saying that at all. A true prophecy could come even through King James English. Okay? But let me say something else. False doctrine also gets in there because your mind gets tangled up between what's from you and what's from God. You see why God chose tongues? God chose tongues because you don't know what you're saying. And since you don't know what you're saying, you've got no reason to change it. It's a pure language. Tongues is a purer language than prophecy is. Because with prophecy, you're speaking your own language, and your doctrine, your theology, your thinking gets tangled up in there with it, and you change it sometimes. Maybe sometimes you don't even know it, but you do it. But with tongues, it's not that way. You don't know what you're saying, so you're not changing it. In fact, you might get the interpretation only after you've said it. You see? So, here's what I'm getting around to saying. If a prophet's doctrine is correct, he's certainly got a big help there. First of all, he can discern his own prophecy, and he can discern other people's prophecies by correct doctrine. Second of all, his mind is not constantly trying to pervert the prophecy as it flows through him as a vessel. Because he's got right thinking, right doctrine. So, it's important. It's more important, let me say it again, I'm going to say it again. It's more important that you study the scriptures than it is to study prophecies. I know people that read prophecies and dreams and visions all day long. That's all they do. They think they found a shortcut. That's not a shortcut. You get deceived that way. So, pray for these gifts that God will give them. And be patient with the people around you, because I can tell you one thing, you want that patience too. We are under grace. It's a little bit different from the law. God is a little more merciful with us because of grace. And so, pray that God will bless you with these gifts, especially dreams and visions for the times to come. You know? Terry, do you have a question?
Lots of them.
Yeah.
I'll go with the most recent one. Do you think there's, or believe that there's a gap or prophetic pause between the 69th and 70th week in Daniel?
Yes, I definitely do. And, you know what some people say, Daniel 9 says, in order to make there not be a gap, it's just false. We have several places that mention in the scriptures that gap, that 2,000 year gap. Let me see if I can remember exactly what it was that they use. Verse 26, it says, after 62 weeks shall the anointed one be cut off. First he mentions the 7 weeks, and then the 62 weeks, which makes 69 weeks. After the 69 weeks, the anointed one, that was Jesus, was cut off. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and even unto the end shall war and desolations are determined. Notice that. They had an end in that day. When the city was destroyed, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed after Jesus was crucified. Okay. And still it doesn't say the 70th week had come. The end came, but the 70th week didn't come. Okay. And verse 27, and he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And upon the wing of abomination shall come one that maketh desolate, even unto the full end, and that determined shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate. Well, that end hasn't come yet. There's two ends there, did you notice? And by the way, what are the 70 weeks? Not the 69, but the 70 weeks to determine. Verse 24. 70 weeks are decreed upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish transgression. Did that happen in Jesus' day? I would say not. And to make an end of sins. Did that happen in Jesus' day? I would say not. And to make reconciliation for iniquity was reconciliation, as of course was accomplished by faith, but it wasn't manifest. Okay? And to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophets, and to anoint the most holy. Folks, those are all things that don't happen until the end of the 70th week. Didn't happen in Jesus' day. I don't care if you think the 70th week followed right on the heels of the 69 weeks. It didn't happen. These are things that the Bible tells us is going to happen in our day. Somewhere there's a gap. And I'll point out to you a couple of places. Number one, Hosea. Chapter 6. Chapter 5, verse 15. He says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. And in their affliction, they will seek me earnestly. They rejected their Lord. They rejected their sacrifice. There was a continual burnt offering that brought God's people into fellowship with God, even in the Old Testament. They had a continual burnt offering. Well, when Jesus came along, folks, He became the offering. And we are in Him, and now we have a continual burnt offering. We are to take up our cross and follow Him. And we are to sacrifice our bodies as living sacrifices, Romans says. And so if a person walks in the flesh and they don't follow their Lord, they don't have a continual burnt offering. Verse 6, come and let us return unto the Lord, and He hath torn, He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us, and on the third day, He will raise us up, and we shall live before Him. Let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord is going forth as sure as the morning, and He will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. Where's the gap? The gap is between the former rain and the latter rain. Why did God wait for 2,000 years to pour out the latter rain? Wasn't the latter rain poured out in the same year that the former rain was poured out, naturally speaking? Yeah. But you see, there's a gap there. Something happened. First of all, the Jews, who were the people of God, who had the temple of God and the city of God, were broken off of the olive tree. And the Gentiles, who were God's new city, new people, and new temple, were grafted in. The New Jerusalem is now, according to Paul in Galatians chapter 4, our mother. Old Jerusalem is in bondage with her children, and was called the handmaid. Right? We don't want to be children of the handmaid. We want to be children of the free woman, Paul called it, which is the New Jerusalem. Okay. So God was the 70th week, which was to end sin and bring an end of iniquity and anoint the most holy. People say, well, anointing the most holy with Jesus. Wait a minute, folks. The latter rain that comes in the end of the year is going to anoint the most holy. The most holy body of Christ the world has ever seen is about to be anointed. This is the body of Christ. Jesus said that He would return and He would do His works in the earth, and that His people would do greater works than Him because He went to the Father and sent back the Holy Spirit to recreate Him in the life of those people. See, anointing the most holy is going to happen in our day. Okay? And 70 weeks is determined upon thy city and thy holy people. Daniel said, God told Daniel, you're going to be resurrected in your lot. Thy people, remember what he told him? Thy people. Well, in Daniel chapter 12, who was Daniel's people? God told Daniel that after the 1,335 days, he would be resurrected in his lot. When is the resurrection, folks? The resurrection is in our day, not 2,000 years ago. Daniel's going to be resurrected with his lot. That is the people who are the true temple, the true Jerusalem, and the true people of God. That's a gap. No matter how you look at it, that's a gap. The resurrection of the dead didn't happen back there. See? And he was talking to Daniel. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now look, Daniel wasn't broken off of the olive tree. The unbelieving Jews were broken off. When the church was grafted into the olive tree, now who is Daniel's people? It's determined upon thy people. Now who's Daniel's people? The church. You see, Daniel was one of those that Jesus went and preached to the souls in prison, and he believed God. He accepted the gospel there. You know who Daniel is? Daniel is not a natural Jew. Daniel is a Christian. He accepted the gospel in Sheol. So, there's the gap also, let me say, that Micah speaks about this gap. Micah chapter 5. Many places speak about it. But thou, Bethlehem, verse 2, Ephrathah, which art little to be among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall one come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up, there it is again, until the time that she who travaileth hath brought forth. Now that's the man-child being born in Revelation chapter 12. He gave them up for 2,000 years. Again, 2 days. He gave them up. There's your gap right there. See, now some people say, well, they had a tribulation back there. They certainly did. And the beast destroyed the harlot back there. Certainly did. Same thing's going to happen today because history always repeats, you see. See, but today it's happening with a much larger group of people. And today, with the regenerate gift that God is giving to His people, the unleavened bread that He's going to pour out in the last 7 days before God's people go to be with Him, that He's promised, these things, the latter rain outpouring, these things are what is going to make an end of sin that never happened back in Jesus' day. Listen, in this coming day, all of God's people, Jew and Gentile, are going to be Christians. They're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They're going to have the anointing of the latter rain. And they're going to have the unleavened bread. And all that's going to work together to deliver God's people from sin. He's going to make an end of iniquity, an end of sin. He's going to anoint the Most Holy. You know what the Most Holy was, right? Most Holy, if you talk about the Holy of Holies, was also called the Most Holy. We're told in Revelation chapter 11 that those who worship in the altar will be measured out, but the outer court will be given unto the Gentiles. You know, there are actually a people who have gone through the veil, as Peter called it. They've entered in through the veil, which the way was dedicated for us, which was Jesus Christ, the high priest, to enter into the Holy of Holies through the veil, which is to say His flesh. And now what God is saying is, that veil was rent so we could go in there. Enter right into the presence of God because of the sacrifice of Jesus. When you talk about the Holy of Holies, you're talking about a people. When you're talking about the Most Holy, you're talking about a people. That is the people who worship in the altar and in the Holy of Holies. A people who have sacrificed their old man on the altar enter in through the veil of the torn flesh in order to enter into the presence of God. That place is called the Most Holy. Who are the people that are going to be anointed the Most Holy? We're talking about the people in our day. You see, the people that say all this already happened, see, I already agree with that. It all did happen back in Jesus' day, but it happened as a type and a shadow for the fulfillment to happen in our day. The preterists think that prophecy only happens one time. That's totally false. They believe the 70th week happened back in Jesus' day, because that's what the error of preterists is that prophecy only happens one time. Prophecies happen one time literally, usually, and the second time they happen spiritually and on a much larger scale. You know, what happened in Jesus' day is going to happen again in our day. Matter of fact, the Lord spoke that to me very clearly. He said everything that happened in the Gospels and in the book of Acts was going to happen again in our day, except that the cast of characters is multiplied many times over. Now, the preterists have no idea what's going to happen in the end time, because no prophecy of the end time makes any difference to them, because they think it all happened already. So they're blind as bats. They have no idea what's going to happen in these days. Well, I can tell you, the Bible tells us what's going to happen. The things that have been are the things that shall be. Things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. God is going to repeat history. So everything that they say was fulfilled in Jesus' day is going to be fulfilled in our day. But they don't know that. See, so don't fall for that lie. You can go through the scriptures and find multitudes of prophecies that have many times more than one fulfillment. And they don't believe that. But history itself proves it. They do a good job of pointing out that the things that we see coming happened in a natural way back then. But what they're blind to is that history always repeats and that it's all coming again. So yes, there's a gap. Have something else there, Terry?
Yeah. You take a station on you first.
Okay, thank you. Well, you're listening to the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And for information and materials, you can go to our site, americaslastdays.com. We're being broadcast on Spirit One Radio and American Liberty Radio at 89.1 FM, at 89.9 FM, at 103.7 FM, on most of these stations. What you got there, Terry?
Tell around had two questions. What is your opinion concerning that one later?
I don't think they can hear you.
The Christian brother listed Luke 21:36 and Revelation 3:10 in reference to a pre-trib rapture. But I asked a question about prophecy. What would your response to this be? Luke 21:36.
Okay. Let me read that to you. But watch ye at every season, making supplication that you may prevail to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Well, the word escape there is the word ekphoego, and it means to flee out of. Now, what the raptures say that the word escape here means is to fly away to heaven. But let me say it cannot mean that. But you can escape every tribulation. The Apostle Paul said he did it. My God shall deliver me from every evil work, and he will save me unto his heavenly kingdom. And you know what? God did it. God brought him all the way through the stonings, everything he went through, God brought him through it. So don't think that you can't escape any other way but to fly to heaven. Okay? That's just false. Now, let me point out to you some people that did escape trials, temptations. Moses did. Moses went through the wilderness, which the Bible calls the tribulation. In Revelation 12, Revelation 17. Did you know that the wilderness that the woman goes into in Revelation 12 and Revelation 17, the first 3.5 years, the second 3.5 years, that wilderness was called the tribulation. Now, Moses brought the children of Israel through the wilderness, which is the tribulation. Okay? But first, he went through the wilderness for 40 years before he brought them through it for 40 years. Now, when he went through it with them, did he escape tribulation? Yeah, you see, he wasn't going through the great trials that they were going through. He was constantly trying to convince them that they should believe in God. Constantly. The trial wasn't upon him, the trial was upon them. And Joseph, who brought them through the 7 years of famine, did he escape it? Yeah, he escaped it. They were the ones that were seeking provision from him. Okay? Listen. We are to pray to escape all these things, just like the Apostle Paul said, and to stand before the Son of Man. You know that I've shared this recently, but I'll share a little bit of it again. If you go to my site, and there's two chapters in the book Hidden Manna. One of them is the man-child and the woman, and the other one is caught up to the throne. Okay? What we discovered was that in the types and shadows of the man-child all the way through the Bible, you see, God just shows parables of the same thing all the way through the Bible. In every age, He's shown a parable. Moses was the man-child in his day that brought the children of Israel through the wilderness. Jesus was the man-child in his day who brought the children of Israel through the wilderness. Joseph, many other types of man-child in the Bible. What the Lord showed me was each one of these, if you were to put it on a clear transparency and you stack these up so that you could look through all of them, you'd get the full revelation of the end-time man-child. Because each one of them is a type and a shadow of what's going to happen in the end time. Now I want you to notice something. Moses came out of Egypt and he was caught up to the throne of God. He went up to the mountain of God's presence and he talked to God. And God sent him back to bring the children of Israel through the wilderness or through the tribulation to go to the promised land. Okay? Joseph, who went through the 7 years of famine so that he could bring Israel through the seven years of plenty, so that he could bring Israel through the 7 years of famine. He brought them through all 7 years. Moses brought them all the way to the promised land. Jesus is another type. What the Lord told me about Jesus was everything that happened in the Gospels and in the book of Acts is going to happen again, except the cast of characters is multiplied many times over. Jesus ministered for 3.5 years. That's the same 3.5 years that we read about in Revelation chapter 12 that the man-child ministers for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. See, the things that have been and the things that shall be, we're just talking about larger groups of people. Jesus was called the first fruits. The man-child in Revelation 12 is the first fruits of the brethren in our day to come into the image of Jesus Christ, to have His ministry and do His works and have His faith and so on. Okay. So, if you take those transparencies and you stack them up, you begin to see the full revelation of what it was. Jesus, at the beginning of His ministry, was anointed to be king over Israel. You know, the anointed in the Old Testament, the one that was called anointed, that was the king. Jesus was David to come. He was David who was anointed, who sat on David's throne. He ruled over Israel. But they didn't recognize Him as king. Remember when He rode in on the donkey? They should have accepted Him and anointed Him to be king, because that's what He was in the Spirit anyway. He was caught up to the throne of God. You know that it was prophesied to David that He sat in God's throne for him. He was talking about His earthly throne. He sat in God's throne for him. And Hebrews chapter 12 speaks about you are come unto the mountain of the living God. You are come. He wasn't talking about physical Zion because He said you've come to a mountain that can't be touched. He was talking about spiritual Zion. See, we are not physical Israel. We're spiritual Israel. We're circumcised in heart and not in flesh. We're spiritual Israel. We have a spiritual King David, Jesus. In our day, the Bible says that they will never want to be a seed to sit on David's throne. In other words, in our day, God is once again raising up leaders that spiritually are like David, In fact, God told me that. He told me he was moving the Sauls out of the way and he's making room for the Davids, plural. Spoke that to him. So God is again doing the same thing he did in Jesus' day, except with more people. The reason Jesus left was so that he could come back in a corporate body and do the same thing all over the world. That's the reason he left. And he's doing that. He's raising up a David now that is caught up to his throne. Jesus said, "He that overcometh will sit down with me in my throne, as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne." Jesus ruled from the throne. He was King David. He ruled from the throne. And when people begin to exercise the dominion and the authority and the power that God already gave to us in his promises, like whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, that sounds like throne authority there to me. When people overcome to actually take their place next to the Lord Jesus as overcomers, sitting with him in his throne, when they actually overcome to accept that place, that's the catching up to the throne. You know, Jesus had two catchings up to the throne. The Lord shown this to me. Listen to it very carefully. First, he was caught up in spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him and anointed him as the leader of Israel. In Luke chapter 4. He went through some more crucifixion. And the flesh was put to death. And he was again caught up to the throne. See, there's a spirit catching up to the throne, a soul catching up to the throne, and then a body catching up to the throne. Listen carefully. I'll just prove this to you. Spirit, and then soul, and then body. How are you sanctified? First spirit, and then soul, and then body. See, the Bible doesn't talk about any catching up to the throne but one. 1 Corinthians 15. Did you read it? Now this is what Paul said back in his day. And he talked about the rapture and the resurrection of the dead happening at the same time. In 2 Thessalonians, right? Well, listen to what he said, 1 Corinthians 15. Because it's the word of the Lord. He said, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We all, who's that leave out? None. We all shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed." We all. That's talking about from him, his day, and his people, to us, our day, and our people. All. All is all. "But we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." Folks, the bodies all change right there. The resurrection of the dead and the rapture happens right there. We're all going to be changed there. At the last trump. There's only one last trump. It's at the end of the tribulation period. Not the beginning of the tribulation period. No absolute, no truth in that. Okay? So, when we talk about being caught up to the throne in body, that's at the last trump. Everybody's caught up there. Listen, Moses went all the way through the wilderness, which we would call the tribulation period. Took the children of Israel to the promised land. However, dead middle of the wilderness, you know what happened? He went up on the mountain of God again, and his face shone, and he had to put a veil on his face so that they couldn't see that there was a glorified man in there. His face shone. In the middle of the wilderness, after 3.5 years of Jesus' tribulation, guess what happened? He caught up to the throne. The old man was put to death. The new man lived. But in Acts 16, he showed himself to the disciples again. Still here on earth. Matter of fact, you know what he said? He said, "I'm never going to leave you or forsake you until the end," literally it says, "the end of the age." When was the end of the age for the Jews? 70 AD, when the beast destroyed the harlot. He didn't leave them until the end of that age. He walked with them all the way through. How can that be? Because Moses walked all the way through. Joseph walked all the way through. He took the children of Israel all the way through the 7 years of famine. And Jesus did too. In fact, I'm going to read that to you just so you know it. He said, I'm not going to leave you and forsake you. I'm going to be with you until the end of the age. And the end of the age was 70 AD. When Israel was destroyed as the people of God, their city was destroyed, their covenant was destroyed, everything. See? Oh, where was I going? Acts chapter 16. Some versions left this out. Can you imagine? It's definitely in the ancient manuscripts. It's in the numeric pattern too, which is proof. Verse 7. And when they were come over against Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus suffered them not. I know that that's not in the King James Version, but it's in the ancient manuscripts, and it's in the numeric pattern. The numeric pattern determines what's the original, not the King James Version. The numeric pattern God designed into all of His Bible so that you would know what was added to and what was taken away. And in the King James, they took away here because the Spirit of Jesus that met them in their wilderness is definitely there in the original. It's in the received text. Did you know that? Let's see. It was in all the ancient manuscripts. It's in the numerics. It's in the Nestle's text. The Nestle's text is the three most ancient manuscripts. So, when Jesus said, I'm going to be with you to the end of the age, He meant that in order to fulfill the types and the shadows of the rest of the man-childs in the Bible. So, here you got Jesus being caught up in spirit, after 3.5 years being caught up in soul, and going all the way to 70 AD, being caught up in body. Why do I say that? Well, because 70 AD is when the beast destroyed the harlot. Do you know what happened at the end of the 7 years in the book of Revelation? The beast destroyed the harlot. In Jesus' day, it was the harlot of apostate Judaism, but in the book of Revelation, it's the harlot of apostate Christianity that's destroyed. These people who proclaim to be Christian but persecuted the saints and sided with the beast, they're going to be destroyed by the beast. See? So when you start looking at these signposts and you start lining them up, kind of like I was talking about the transparencies, you start lining them up, suddenly a lot of prophecy begins to fit and the whole puzzle comes together. No, there is no pre-tribulation rapture. There is no mid-tribulation rapture. The rapture is at the end, like Paul said, at the last trump. You know what the last trump is? Revelation 11 and 15. The seventh angel sounded. And what did they say? The kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. And it came time for Him to give the reward to the saints, so on and so forth. That's the end, folks. That's the end of the tribulation period. Paul said, all. You can't find any place otherwise. Listen, Israel did not jump over the wilderness and go straight to the promised land. They didn't go to heaven. They had to go through the wilderness to get to the promised land. And, let me say this. We find from Daniel chapter 12 that Daniel tells us when the resurrection of the dead is. Alright, all the pre-tribbers say, well, yeah, 2 Thessalonians tells us that the rapture and the resurrection of the dead happen at the same time. Well, guess what? There is no resurrection of the dead until the end of the tribulation period. Jesus said, I will raise him up at the last day. Not 7 years before the last day. I will raise him up at the last day. Daniel said in Daniel chapter 12 that you count 1,335 days from the time the continual burnt offering is taken away. And Daniel 9 tells us that the continual burnt offering is taken away in the midst of the week, the midst of the 70th week, which is the middle of the tribulation period. And Daniel 12 tells us to add, count 1,335 days from the middle of the tribulation period, and you come to when Daniel is resurrected in his life. Now, folks, any way you look at it, that's at the end of the tribulation period. And Job said, "Man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more, he shall not awake." Now, folks, the heavens don't roll up as a scroll at the beginning of the tribulation period. They do that at the end. If they rolled up at the beginning, there wouldn't be a tribulation period. Obviously, you can't have a tribulation without a heavens, you know. And he said, "Man lieth down and riseth not, until the heavens be no more." So the resurrection of the dead and the rapture happens at the end of the tribulation period. Okay. John, looking from 96 A.D. in our direction, he said, "I saw the first resurrection." You catching me here? He's going to tell you when the resurrection of the dead. He mentions two resurrections in Revelation chapter 20. The first one is the resurrection of the saints. The second one is the resurrection of the wicked after 1,000 years. So he tells you about the resurrection, the first and the only resurrection between him and us. He said, "I saw the first resurrection." And guess what? He didn't see it at the beginning of the tribulation period. He saw it at the end of the tribulation period. He said in Revelation 20, "I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and such as worshipped not the beast, neither his image, and received not the mark on their forehead or upon their hand. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead lived not till 1,000 years should be finished." And then he said, this is the first resurrection. The first resurrection are those that go through, obviously, the time of the beast. Some are beheaded. So they go through the second 3.5 years, because the beheadings don't happen until the second 3.5 years. The persecution against the saints happens in the second 3.5 years. You can read that in Revelation 13. So once again, there is no pre-tribulation rapture. It cannot be found in the Scriptures. And there will be people that the Bible says will be alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Now, how did they do that? Through this persecution. It's simple. They ec fuego. They escaped all these things to stand before the Son of Man. That's very simple. There is no pre-tribulation rapture. That's a lie that people who want to escape while they live in their sins, and it makes them feel comfortable. There's no proof to it. Let me challenge you to go and read an article on my site. It's called, it's in the book Hidden Manna. It's under Revelations and Teachings. And the name of the article is Rapture When. I proved through the types and the shadows. I proved through the feasts. I proved through the verses all through the Bible that give us the exact time of the rapture. The exact time of the rapture. The Bible tells us exactly when the rapture happens. See, God told Noah, after 7 days, the flood would come. Didn't. And guess what? They were all in the ark, and the ark lifted off after 7 days. 7 days is what? The 70th week of Daniel. The tribulation period. The last 7 days is mentioned all the way through the Bible.
David, there's also those that have tribulation and wrath confused too.
Absolutely. The Bible doesn't say the tribulation is wrath. It does not say that. The wrath comes after the tribulation. The tribulation is for the saints. It means trial. It's a trial for them. to go through to sanctify them. Wrath is poured out on the wicked who are tribulating the saints. Okay? For instance, the Bible says, after the tribulation of those days, Matthew 24, they will see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. He'll send forth His angels. He'll gather together His elect. So on and so forth. What happens at that time? He said, the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't give its light. And now if we go to Acts chapter 2, we find that the sun is darkened and the moon is turned into blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and notable day. The day of the Lord is also called the day of wrath. In Isaiah 34 and verse 8. Okay? So, notice this. After the tribulation, Jesus comes and takes His saints. At that time, the day of wrath is on. See, God told Noah, after 7 days, the flood's coming upon the earth. How long was the flood on the earth? Just over a year. Count it up, you'll find I'm right. It's just over a year. Isaiah 34 and 8 tells us that the day of wrath, the day of the Lord's vengeance, is a year. It's a day that's a year. Look, in the 70th week of Daniel, each day in that week represents a year, doesn't it? Okay. Well, here's the truth. The truth is there aren't 7 years in the book of Revelation. There's 8 years. There's the tribulation. Then the sun and the moon are darkened. Jesus takes His saints. Then there's the day of wrath upon the wicked. Read it, Isaiah 34 and verse 8. Okay. So, the people say that we're not appointed unto wrath. Exactly true. The saints are not going to be in the wrath. The saints are going to escape the wrath. But they're not going to escape the tribulation because no saints escape the tribulation all the way through the Bible. See, the Bible says that things that have been are the things that shall be. Things that have been done are the things that shall be done. Nowhere did they escape the beast. Listen to me. There have been 6 beasts before the one they're building now. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, and Rome. Not in one of those cases did the saints escape the beast kingdom. The beast kingdom came to crucify them, came to correct them, to chasten them in every case. And the Bible says the things that have been are the things that shall be. Shall be. See, the saints say we're all going to escape the beast kingdom. That's a lie. It's not biblical. You can't read it in the Bible. You can't find it in the Bible. It's a bold-faced lie. God's saints have never done it, and they're not going to do it this time. They're going through the time of the beast. They will escape. They pray to be counted worthy. They will escape. One way or the other, they're going to escape. I went through this very, very fast. I understand I'm answering a question here, and I'm doing it very fast. But if you want to study it, looking at an awful lot of Scripture, an awful lot of truth, and giving you exact time of the rapture and resurrection of the dead. I'm talking about, listen to me now, listen. If you go and read Rapture When, I will show you to the exact day when the rapture happens. Once you know the covenant with many is made, you'll know the exact day when the rapture and the resurrection of the dead will happen. It's in the Bible. It's clear as a bell. Okay. The coming of Jesus was told to the exact day. 69 weeks of years. Coming of Jesus to be cut off as God's anointed. Exact day. Okay, now. I would suggest you go and read that because you've got a lot more time to do that. Okay.
I guess we'll probably wind it up here.
God bless you, brother. Thank you for joining us. We enjoy your presence. We enjoy your questions. We hope that you'll be patient with us because we got a lot to learn over here, okay? So just be patient with us and pray for us if you think we're wrong on something. And ask the Lord to show us better. And we'll do the same for you, right? But what we're doing is we're doing what
Isaiah chapter 8 talks about we're binding up the testimony among the disciples. We're getting closer and closer to the truth here, folks, and that's what's important. You know? Seeking the Lord, seeking His truth. God bless you. We love you. Good night.